About what I call, basically, it's a civil war in America. There's no bullets flying. It's not like we have armies going out and marching on battlegrounds. Not the civil war that we saw in our history before, but it is a civil war, but it's in a different way here in America. Now, what do these battle lines look like? How are the sides drawn up? Okay, right now, we're in a civil war, basically politically, between the Democrats and the Republicans, but then it goes even further, okay? It's not just Democrat and Republican, left and right. You can dive down in that civil war into deeper levels, where we have basically the deep state is fighting back against President Trump, the loyal people in his administration, and the American people. Okay, so you have to understand what that means and what that looks like. Who wanted Trump as president? The American people. Nobody else. Nobody else wanted Trump as president. Honestly, you have to look at that. So when he was going through the Republican primaries, was he backed largely by the Republican Party? No. As a matter of fact, the Republican Party was very much never Trumpers. Most of the Republican establishment did not want Trump in there. Now, once he won the primary, the RNC, everybody dove behind him. But you have to look at the American people. It was us that we voted for him during the Republican primary, and it's us, we voted for him to be president. So there's that side, okay? So that's why I say you've got Democrat versus Republican, very separate types of ideology, which is Republicans are very conservative. Republicans have different values than Democrats. We view our country as a republic. They view the country as a democracy. Okay, you have all of that. Then we have the deep state versus President Trump and the American people. The deep state has been in place for many, many years. This is basically the underlying controlling part of the government that controls and makes decisions regardless who is president, regardless who is in Congress, regardless of anything. They are an underlying controlling, basically faction in themselves. Okay, that's what the deep state is. Now, President Trump is the first president, yes, the first president in a very long time that is not deep state controlled. That's why you see all of these forces, the media, Democrats big time, some Republicans, liberal judges, court systems, foreign governments, high-level CEOs, elites. You see many people coming against Donald Trump because he is not part of the deep state and he doesn't play along to their agenda, okay? So that's part of the Civil War. What else is part of the Civil War? We are having a cultural civil war in our country, and this has been mounting for a long, long time. We are having extreme divisions of our opinions on many, many levels, on family, on abortion, on gender, believe it or not. Whoever thought we would actually disagree on what gender is? If you had told me years ago that we would disagree on gender, that the fact that there's just boy and girl, that there's no, there's many more genders, I would have thought you were crazy. But yes, in the Civil War part, the cultural part, that is where we are fighting. We are fighting on grounds of that. We are fighting on grounds where women feel so emboldened when they have an abortion that there is now a website called Shout Your Abortion, where there are videos of women standing up and telling their abortion stories in stand-up comedy style humor, where they actually make fun of their boyfriends who wanted to keep the babies, and then they actually make fun of their aborted babies. It's like, that is the most evil, sick thing I've ever heard of. But that's how far apart we're spreading culturally. We're spreading that far. It's not just pro-choice, pro-life anymore. No, it's not that. We're spreading far, far, far apart. Now, there's many, many problems in our country. So the Civil War has multiple layers. It has political sides, Democrat, Republican. It has deep, deep layers, the deep state or the resistance versus Trump and the American people. And then it has a cultural morality underlayment. You see, there's a cultural morality underlayment. Okay, so let's back up, and here's where we're going to go today. I'm going to go all the way back and we're going to just quote some dates, quote some events that have happened and lead up to talking about basically the direction of the country and how the resistance was formed. Okay. So I hope you guys hang with me. This should be really, really interesting. Now, also, I'm going to dig into a few drops that came out last night that I think are very informative. I'm going to be ending on basically Bruce Orr. He's being questioned behind closed doors today, which is a huge, huge, huge thing. We won't know everything that comes out of that questioning. We just won't. But I assure you, there is some very, very deep information being questioned of Bruce Orr right now. And I hopefully Trey Gowdy is tearing him up and several others in there. So, all right, so we're going to go back now. Let's talk about the Clinton Foundation. Okay, when was the Clinton Foundation founded? Do you guys know? I'll tell you, it was 1997, okay? 1997, the Clinton Foundation was formed. This was while Bill Clinton was still president of the United States. He and Hillary and Chelsea's part of it too, founded the Clinton Foundation, and it was basically because they had launched a plan that we're gonna see how it laid out for their future after Bill Clinton left the White House and moved forward, okay? So let's go there. So the Clinton Foundation, 1997. Now, when did Bill Clinton, when did he leave office? 2000, right? Because George Bush, he became president after Clinton. Okay, now I wanna remind you a few things because I think this is so funny. Bill Clinton was impeached. Why was he impeached? Because he lied. Remember, Monica Lewinsky, he was receiving all kinds of Lewinskys in the Oval Office, and that was going on while he was president of the United States, right? Yes. Okay. So I just wanted to throw that out there because Trump, this will be relevant later because you know how they're, the whole Stormy Daniels situation and Trump and everything, which happened 10 years earlier, than now, right? Okay, so it had nothing to do with Trump being in office, but that's a small point for later. Okay, so now, once Bill Clinton left the White House, what did he do? He launched in big time into the Clinton Foundation, and so did Hillary. Now, Bill Clinton traveled the world after he left office, giving very expensive speeches. He was paid hundreds of thousands of dollars wherever he would go to give these speeches, and he lobbied big time for the Clinton Foundation, asking for donations for the Clinton Foundation. That has become a huge source of wealth for the Clintons ever since they started it. They had all these relationships that they made while they were in presidency, Bill Clinton was president in the White House. So they had all these connections all over the world. They had a network of people, and basically what they did is they built, what do you call it? I call it a crime organization. That's what I think it is. So they built what I call a crime organization that is an umbrella of many, many people, okay? So that's what Bill Clinton did. Now, I'll give you an example of that. Remember Haiti in 2010, where Bill Clinton and where the Clintons asked for tons and tons of donations into the Clinton Foundation, and they received millions and millions of dollars, and I think it was only less than 10% actually went to help the people in Haiti. The rest of that money stayed in the Clinton Foundation and went into people's pockets, okay? So you have to understand that. Now, we also know there's a lot of scandal coming out of Haiti. Laura Silsby, who is connected with Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton all the way back to Arkansas, she was arrested smuggling children out of Haiti. I think it was like 33 or 34 children. She was arrested trying to smuggle children out of Haiti. It was discovered that these children were not orphans. She claimed them to be orphans and they were going to be adopted out once they got to the United States. However, they were not orphans. They were not. They had mothers, fathers, they had homes, and she was arrested. Now, the interesting thing is through Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton, at that time was Secretary of State, and Hillary Clinton, there's emails that she sent on Laura Silsby's behalf trying to help Laura Silsby get out of this predicament because why? Because Hillary Clinton, they backed Laura Silsby. Bill Clinton stuck his neck out there and reached down right into the government in Haiti and had Laura Silsby's sentence reduced down to, I think the charge was mishandling foreign travel arrangements was the official charge that Laura Silsby was charged on. Okay, so that happened with Haiti, everyone. Now, where is Laura Silsby today? She works for the organization, the company that plays the part that sends out the alerts for Amber Alert. So if you don't find that disturbing, I just don't know what is wrong with you. But yeah, so Laura Silsby today, after she served time down in Haiti for a foreign travel arrangement charge that Bill Clinton got reduced from human trafficking. It was originally human trafficking, and Bill Clinton got it reduced, and Hillary helped out too. So yeah, now she's working with Amber Alert. Isn't that great? That's really great, right? Okay, so that was the Clinton Foundation in Haiti in 2010. Okay, let's move forward. Barack Obama becomes president in 2008, okay? By that time in our American history, we had had George Bush for 8 years. We had 9/11. Sorry about that, guys. Call came in, so I had to decline it. But we had witnessed 9/11, right? We had witnessed 9/11, the terrorist attack in New York, and the plane that crashed in Pennsylvania, and the so-called plane that crashed into the Pentagon. It's odd. There's never any evidence shown for a plane in the Pentagon. But anyways, I'm not going to dive into the 9/11 conspiracy. But 9/11 had happened. Our country was very much into a war. We had invaded Iraq looking for weapons of mass destruction that we never found. At that time, we were basically destabilizing the Middle East. Barack Obama comes in 2008 as president, the first president of color or considered non-white president. Many people call him the first black American president, but I'll remind you that he's half black and he's half white. So technically he's just half black, half white, but they call him the first black American president. I have no issues with racism, so I don't really vote for anyone based on their skin color, and I could care less about that. So it doesn't matter to me, but I will say this, and I always find this ironic. There's so many people on the left that talk about, that are like social justice warriors, and they want to proclaim how good they are because they voted for Barack Obama. Well, let me just throw this out here. And you guys, I'm ripping the duct tape off of political correctness today because I've had it. I'm just done with it. So I'm going to say this to all you social justice warriors, white people who voted for Barack Obama. You're really the racist, because here's what I've heard from many of you. That you all voted for Barack Obama, white people, Democrat voters, voted for Barack Obama because you felt like it was time for America to have a black president. Well, let me say this. That makes you the most racist people in this country because you voted for someone based on their skin color, which is what racism is. It's how you treat someone, hire someone, fire someone, talk about someone, make decisions and feelings about someone based on their skin color. And that makes all of you white people who think you're so above everyone else, that makes you actually the biggest racist there is because you voted for someone based on their skin color, and not their character, not for what they can do for America, not for what they can change in our country, not for perhaps their character or their past experience, which he had very little of. And if you were to have looked in Obama's character and his history and the people he aligned himself with, you would have found very disturbing connections, like Louis Farrakhan or like Bill Ayers of the Weather Underground, who was his neighbor, and he stood in Bill Ayers' living room and launched his presidential campaign. You people would have figured that that's kind of scary because Bill Ayers had been arrested. Duh. But no, all you white Democratic social justice warriors think you were just being holier than thou by voting for a man because his skin was more brown than yours. Okay, so just wanted to throw that one out there. That's a little piece of history. Okay, so we have Barack Obama as president in 2008. Now, Moving on, what did Barack Obama say? What did Michelle Obama say? That Obama would make a radical transformation to America. And yes, yes, that's what we saw, a radical transformation to America. Most people had no clue what that was at that time. Nobody had any idea. But yep, we're finding out, or we have found out, and it's worse. I would say my view and the truth that I've discovered is far worse than I could have ever imagined at that time when I heard that said. Okay, so we're going to carry on. Let's talk about what happened under Barack Obama. I'm just going to throw out a few highlights here under Obama. Okay, Obama made the Iran deal in 2015, where he gave billions of dollars to Iran, to people that were trying to make nuclear weapons and constantly talked about destroying Israel and destroying America. Barack Obama made a deal with them and gave them a bunch of money. Yes, that happened. Okay, we also saw the rise of ISIS during Obama's presidency. And why did we see that rise of ISIS, you guys? Because through the war in the Middle East, they destabilized the Middle East. They took out rulers, Hillary Clinton, remember her? Took out Gaddafi. They took out all these, we would call them horrible people, but let me tell you something. Those leaders, Saddam Hussein and Gaddafi, and people like Saddam Hussein and Gaddafi, were actually keeping control on the crazy people in their countries. Like, we thought that Saddam Hussein was bad. We thought Gaddafi was bad. Well, let me tell you something. That gave rise to ISIS, the Muslim Brotherhood, Al-Qaeda, ISIS. Getting rid of those leaders that kept their country, their crazy people under control, their radical Islamic terrorists under control, okay, getting rid of them gave rise to extremism that wants to take over the world and destroy everything. They want to kill you if you're not a Muslim. That's what happened. They destabilized the Middle East. That's what happened, okay? So that happened during Barack Obama's presidency. Okay, but let's keep going. Let's keep talking about whatever happened. Yes, I do believe he is a Muslim. And yes, Valerie Jarrett is too, and she's a big issue too. So what else happened? Oh, we saw through this destabilization in the Middle East and the whole mess in Syria, all of a sudden we saw Muslim refugees pour into all over the world, pour into Europe, come pouring into America. Yes, they let these people, these refugees, who so many of them, oddly, were mostly men, and they were mostly like war-fighting ages. It's amazing how many of those went into Europe and all those countries, and then came into our country too, under the name refugee. And then, to make matters worse, Obama puts in place lottery immigration, where you can have any name pulled out of a hat and, oh, bingo, you're going to America. Yay, you got the right number. Yeah, lottery immigration. And yes, it is an invasion. That's what happened. Obama opened up our borders to an invasion by Muslims. They did the same stupid thing in Europe, but they're all on board together. You see, it was like all part of a plan. Okay, so that's been a big problem. So after, with lottery immigration, what else came? Chain migration. Okay, so not only can you get your name pulled out of a hat and you get to come into America, guess what? There's something called chain migration where you can fill out some forms and all your family members get to come too. I mean, if that's not winning the lottery, I don't know what is. Can you imagine that? Is that not the craziest thing you've ever heard of? So we had Obama opens our borders. We have all these Muslim refugees come into our country. Radical. You know what's amazing to me, people? How did this happen after 9/11? After 9/11, where we have 19 Muslims take over planes and fly them into buildings, that's what we Americans saw happen. How is it possible that fast forward 12, 15 years later, we are having a Muslim refugee invasion into our country. We have lottery immigration, and then we have chain migration. How is that possible? It blows my mind. But that's what we got with Obama. What else did he do? Okay, we got the Iran deal, we got the launch of ISIS, and we have the open borders. Oh, open borders. MS-13, everyone. Under Obama came MS-13. There's a lot to that. You have to understand. They had very good relationships with MS-13. MS-13 was basically like, they were the kind of the henchmen of the Obama administration. They did a lot of the dirty work. Seth Rich was murdered by two MS-13 gang members. That's what I mean by dirty work, okay? So yeah, so we had open borders, which launched big time MS-13 in our country during the Obama presidency. So those are just, to me, some of the highlights that happened under the Obama presidency. We could go a little bit further. We could talk about Black Lives Matters. We could talk about the resistance against the police and Antifa. That happened, that developed in the last couple of years of Obama's presidency. So you can see there was a dramatic difference that happened from when Bush took office to by the time it was the end of Barack Obama's presidency. Radical transformation of America. And that is exactly what we saw happen, okay? Now, they had a plan. They had a plan. This wasn't an 8-year plan. The radical transformation of America was not an 8-year plan. It was a 16-year plan. And the plan, the second half of the 16 years, the next 8 years, was supposed to happen under Hillary Clinton. Disappointingly, things fell apart. Now, that's where we're going to dig in today. Okay, so I want to go back. While Obama is still president, let's talk about some of the people that were in place. Now, we had Hillary Clinton. Let's talk about what she's been up to. We talked about Bill. Bill was running the Clinton Foundation. Hillary's helping out, but that was mostly Bill. They're getting a lot of money funneled into the Clinton Foundation. Hillary decides to launch her political career. It's time for her to enter because, you know, she's being lined up. She's the next one in place, the deep state. They choose who their candidates are. They choose who they want to put in place. And Hillary, it was finally her turn. She was supposed to be the first female president of the United States. So she has to run for Senate, right? So she runs for Senate in New York City. Okay, so she becomes senator in New York City. And yes, I could dive into Kennedy getting killed in the plane crash because isn't it interesting that he had announced he was going to run for Senate just before he died in a mysterious plane crash. But anyway, so that's another one of those Clinton murders, right? Okay, someone said if Bill and Hillary divorced, guess what? Bill and Hillary would never divorce because their marriage is a business agreement, okay? There's no reason for them to divorce. As a matter of fact, many of these married couples, we could talk about why they wouldn't divorce. And I'll give you one very credible reason why they would never divorce, why Bill and Hillary would never divorce, why Huma Abedin and Anthony Weiner would never divorce, which you would think she would divorce him, but no, she's still married to him. And I'll tell you why. It's called spousal privilege. In a court of law, spouses cannot testify against each other when they have criminal charges brought against them. Okay, so do you understand that? Yes, I see you saying arranged marriage, but I want you to think about what I just told you. Yes, spouses cannot testify against one another in a court of law when there's criminal charges. So that means if Bill and Hillary were to divorce, or if Huma Abedin and Anthony Weiner were to divorce and criminal charges were brought up against one of them, if they're divorced, they can call in, say, Hillary Clinton, or they can call in Huma Abedin and say, and have them testify against their ex-husbands. But when they stay married, guess what? All their little secrets and dirty deeds that they're both doing, whether or not they have to do with one another or not, but all those dirty deeds can be kept secret because they can't testify against one another. And that is a law. Okay, so I hope that makes sense to you guys. Yes, Hillary Clinton is married to George Soros' nephew. Yes. Yeah, what else are you saying? Yep. Adam Schiff is married to George Soros' sister. I don't know about that one. I don't know. But anyways, so you see the deal. It's great to have a marriage.